I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Europa League winners Atletico Madrid, and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. I think we need a new intro. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, making his standard weekly appearance, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat. A jam-packed show for you today. I have finally carved out some time after a hectic move. I'm now settled into my new place, and we are going to push forward with Antoine Griezmann's decision, La Decision. We'll talk about it on La Podcast today. We're also going to talk about how Atletico's players have fared at the 2018 World Cup in Russia to this point. They've been doing very well. And finally, a long conversation about Atletico's forwards from the 2017-18 season. Probably the most inconsistent group of players in Simeone's team this past season. We'll go in depth on Griezmann, Costa, Gamero, Torres, and the dearly departed Luciano Viedo. You're not going to want to miss it. Before we dive on into all that good stuff, though, make sure to subscribe and listen to the show on your favorite podcasting platform, including Apple Podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and review if you do so. And if you want access to the latest Colt Gennaro Chat Rumor Roundup, it went up on Monday. We give a more detailed look at Griezmann's decision, Jose Jimenez's renewal, Thomas Lemar's arrival, and more. So if you want to hear us prattle on about that for 20 or so minutes, make sure to become a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo at patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. You get access to the bonus pods, and all you need is $1 a month. patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this.
Really? You know, wow. Okay. It was, fair play.
It was kind of cool outside. Like temperature wise, it's not cool to be outside in the summer in Arizona.
I'm sure not.
And I ran out of boxes too.
Oh.
So I had to haul a bunch of stuff like without boxes. Like I had to put it in the car and just bring it on over to my new place.
Good. Well, sounds like a. You know, the normal moving thing, things go wrong.
It was an adventure, but, you know, it was a shared experience. We all made it out together, and now I'm in a studio now, so it's just me, which is pretty cool.
Huzzah.
And now I'm watching the World Cup, and I think Tunisia might have about 12% possession in this game.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I think maybe 13% by the end of it.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to watch this one. I had low expectations. I watched the first few minutes, and then I was like, wow, that's a lot of Tottenham players. I'm good. Yeah, no, pass.
Never let your blind Arsenal fandom get in the way of good football.
It's Tunisia and England. I don't think there's much risk of good football.
Rob Walker coming in hot.
You know, got to stick to the brand, you know.
Yeah, you are very much on brand.
Mm-hmm. You know me.
You know,
I have my values and I stick to them.
You know, Ornstein's out here talking about, you know, you got Leno coming in.
That is a thing that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is a goalkeeper. And he is better than Petr Cech and David Ospina, probably.
He is a guy who plays goal, can confirm.
Yeah, and is, you know, not less than 6 feet tall like David Ospina or ancient like Petr Cech. So, you know, whatevs.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah, you know. He might be crap, but he's our crap.
But if we really want to keep it on brand, though, you know, this is an Atletico podcast. Oh, and now England have scored.
Yeah, shocking.
So, it's your favorite, it's Harry Kane.
Arsenal fan Harry Kane.
Never forget.
Yeah, never forget.
Oh, this is going to be a long ass game for Tunisia.
Yeah, good luck with that, Tunisia. Best of luck to you.
But anywho, it's been almost 2 weeks since we've done a podcast. Feels like much longer than that, but we have a lot to go through, don't we?
Yes, we certainly do. There have been many things which have happened.
Yes, we have lots to go through, both on the on this regular pod and on the bonus pod for Colt Gennaro Chat Amigos. Well, today, the crux of our program today is going to be looking back on Atletico's forwards this season, how they did. But before we get to that, let's just do a quick news roundup. Last week was a big week. We had 3 straight days of announcements, pretty much. Starting on, let's see, the 18th?
Yes.
Yeah, starting on Tuesday, where we had the announcement of Jose Jimenez's renewal. Huzzah.
That was fun. I enjoyed that.
Yes, to 2023. Huge news. His release clause goes up to $120 million. Screw off, Real Madrid. You can't have him.
Yeah, we were pretty skeptical that that would happen anyway, so we love you, Jose. I'm glad to have you.
Yeah, it's wonderful news. I wasn't sure it would get done, but it has gotten done. Wednesday, Atletico announced they had reached an agreement in principle to sign Thomas Lemar from Monaco for a club record fee. It's expected. There was a report in L'Equipe today, this morning, Monday morning, that he was going to sign his contract today in Russia at France's training base.
Yeah, that really advanced quickly. I don't think any of us really thought it was going to move that fast, especially with the World Cup going on.
Someone I had talked to said that there wasn't really any way Atletico were going to sign Lemar if they kept Griezmann, but Atletico have gone and done it.
Yeah, I would have been of the same mind, but apparently not. I guess they have more money than we thought they did.
Maybe.
Well, they may have moved some invisible money around.
Maybe some more funds transferred by Carlos Slim.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that'd be nice. We'd appreciate that.
So Thomas Lemar is coming in. And finally, on Thursday, we had La Decision. Did you watch it?
As an American, why would anyone want to replicate that LeBron James TV program? Because that didn't really work out well for him. So I don't. Maybe Griezmann wasn't aware of what the repercussions of that were. Maybe.
We have seen that before with Griezmann, where he's not exactly aware that what he's doing is, offensive slash really annoying.
Yes. Yes, that is a very good point.
But I actually watched it. It's what you would imagine.
You paid money to get the Spanish cable subscription for your television?
Oh no, I didn't do that. No, I found.
No, you did. You did. You don't want the FBI kicking your door in.
Yes, good looking out. Very good.
Shut up.
But I did watch it and. It had a happy ending, as Antoine Griezmann, as everyone knows now, is staying at Atletico Madrid. A very surprising end to his transfer saga, Rob.
Yeah, I think the main positive, obviously, other than him sticking around, is that I now know that I like his wife more than him.
Ayo, Erica Chaparina FC.
Yeah, I mean, for real, she was speaking the truth in that. So, yeah, good for him. Good for him listening to his wife. That's a good call. Yeah. But, it was very annoying and a stupid video. I watched the highlights, but it ended well.
We will go more in depth on all three of those topics on the bonus pod, the Colt Chinero Chat Rumor Roundup, available for Colt Chinero Chat Amigos at patreon.com/Colt Chinero Chat. Catch it after the show. But in the meantime, before we get to the season review, the player review of Atletico's forwards. You enjoying the World Cup so far, other than, well, England and wherever Spurs players are, so Belgium.
Yeah, Belgium. I didn't watch that match either, to be honest. But
I slept through most of it.
Yes, I have been enjoying it. I think it's been excellent so far. Obviously, the Spain-Portugal game was amazing.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of good matches yesterday as well. We haven't really had any stinkers yet. No nil-nils so far, which is absolutely beautiful.
Have we had any nil-nils? I think
there haven't been.
Have we had one, maybe?
No.
Wow.
That Iran Morocco game was almost one, but it wasn't.
Yeah, that was what I thought was going to be nil-nil, but then that didn't
definitely
go so...
thought it was going to be. Nope, I'm looking at it now. No nil-nils, which is excellent.
Yeah, Morocco were screwed, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
They are so screwed. Because Spain, despite the result, Spain played really well against Portugal. Didn't see really any effects from the Lopetegui nonsense. I think Spain played very well. Saw quite a few people say Spain have been the best team in the tournament so far. I'm not sure I'd go that far, but they played very well. And it took Cristiano doing that.
The Lopetegui thing, that was crazy.
Yeah, it took Cristiano doing that, and it took De Gea being terrible for that result to happen.
Yeah, one of those things you could have predicted beforehand, but I mean, long term, I don't think anyone thinks David De Gea is going to keep playing like Simon Mignolet for the rest of the tournament.
Well, let's hope not.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly.
For Spain's sake.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, for Spain's sake, that would be bad. But Atletico players have done very well to this point.
Very well.
Very well. None of them have lost. Only Real Madrid have accounted for more goals when you break it down by team. Jose Jimenez got the winner in the opening group game for Uruguay against Egypt with a terrific header.
It was glorious. Absolutely glorious.
It was either going to be him or Godin getting it. I was so happy for Jose Ma that he got it.
It was absolutely beautiful. And the celebration. Gotta love a good dog pile early
Tournament. Oh, yeah. It's never too early for a dog pile.
And also hilarious to see the very, very elderly Uruguay coach hop up off the bench with a cane.
Yeah.
That was also quite funny.
I was reading Sid Lowe's interview with Godin and The Guardian. And they were talking about Oscar Tavares, their coach, and how he's going through like mental difficulties. Like his mind is still sharp, but he has like a neurological problem. He has
neurological issues. Yeah, and he's the longest serving manager of a national side at this World Cup.
Yeah, 13
and he's
years.
Really brought through this great Uruguayan generation.
Yeah, he's been with Godin has been with him since the beginning. He's in charge of Uruguay for 13 years now. It's crazy international management.
And Uruguay have always punched above their weight in these tournaments, even if some people may have some objections to things that have happened in the past. But they've always overperformed what they should be doing, so shout out to him for sure.
Yeah, this Uruguay team, I like them much more than the one at the last World Cup. I hated the one at the last World Cup. They actually have like young midfielders now. I think if the ball bounces their way right, like they can get past Portugal. Assuming Spain win Group B, which I think Spain will. If they could get past Portugal.
Yeah, and they have that's the thing. They're definitely going to win that group. I mean, Russia smashed Saudi Arabia, but they're not as good as Uruguay by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, you mentioned Portugal and Spain a little bit. Diego Costa scoring two goals. The first one was unbelievable.
And I love that goal so much. That is one of my favorite goals of this tournament so far, absolutely.
Probably my personal favorite is the first Costa goal. That was just tremendous. The way he dribbled through like three guys, basically, said, get off me, bodying a couple defenders, and then just hitting a really, really nice finish. Then he got another goal after that from a header.
Typical Costa goal, that one.
Yeah, just on the doorstep, just taps it in from about 3 yards.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, you can see how much he enjoys playing for Spain when Del Bosque isn't there to ruin him.
Yes, well, and we would also be remiss if we didn't mention that he also took out Pepe, which is always an enjoyable sight to anyone that loves football.
I was very much enjoying seeing Costa versus Pepe, and Costa won handily.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't even close. Yeah. Two guys that could have played for Brazil, but didn't.
True. Saul did not play in this game, but Koke played all 90 minutes, took lots of touches. Buzzed around like he normally does. 101 touches for Koke over 90 minutes.
Yeah, he was really good in that game, I thought.
France and Australia, I watched this on replay. It was terrible. France are terrible.
Didn't watch that.
France are still terrible, despite all this talent they have. Griezmann scored a penalty that he won himself. They reviewed it on the VAR and determined that it was indeed a penalty. Lucas played all 90 minutes, got fouled a ton.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, Thomas Lamar didn't play. Croatia beat Nigeria 2-0 on Saturday. Shime Versalico played decently well. I watched this game at a California pizza kitchen.
I also watched this at a restaurant.
Yeah, I think Versalico played fine. Better than 85% pass completion. Won a few headers.
That was probably the worst game of the tournament so far, and there were two goals. So
yeah.
That kind of tells you how good this thing's been.
It has been a very good World Cup. I wish I would have been able to watch more of it on like Friday and Saturday, but I was moving, so I couldn't watch nearly as much as I wanted to at the time. But Versalico,
plenty more to come.
This is an important game or an important tournament for Versalico, who really needs to have a good one, I think, to make sure that he's part of Simeone's plans next season, or else they're just going to go buy someone like Sidibe.
Right, exactly. And there's been a lot of smoke about him. So
yes, there has.
It seems like there may be a possibility.
So we'll see how good a tournament Versalico has. I think this tournament is very important for his future more than really anyone in this team is, really, because everyone else is kind of secure. Godin and Jimenez are obviously very secure. Griezmann just recommitted to staying. You know, you have Koke and Costa, who are integral parts of the team. No one really is in the position that Versalico is in.
No, and that Croatia defense is quite terrible, if you were to ask me. So he should be able to stand out in that defense. I would say he's definitely their best defender.
Yeah, definitely not the best part of that team.
No. Definitely. No, their midfield is really nice, but other than that, it's kind of
And finally,
we have Mandzukic, but, you know, whatever.
And we still love Mandzukic.
We do.
And finally, Brazil and Switzerland played out a 1-1 draw. I watched this game yesterday. Felipe Luis did not play.
Yeah, I guess we didn't really expect him to, seeing as Marcel is captain and whatever.
Yeah, probably not surprising. I don't think Felipe will play much, if at all, in the World Cup. At least he's there.
Yeah, that was a pretty shocking result, though.
Yes, it was.
This tournament has thrown up several upsets. I mean, Germany-Mexico was a brilliant game as well.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Yeah, love a bit of that.
That was fantastic.
A little bit of Chucky.
And then we had the Argentina game as well, which we didn't talk about.
Oh, yeah, that did happen, didn't it? That guy missed a penalty, huh?
Yeah, that one guy. Best player in the world missed a penalty.
Yes, indeed.
Mm.
Yeah, Iceland goalkeeper, he was like a film director or something, saved a penalty.
He had some other job that people kept talking about. I'm like, I just like kept scrolling and nodding through my timeline.
Like, so wow, this is a guy.
I didn't really see it.
Yeah, I mean, he was, I liked him. So his press conference afterwards was very good. He speaks perfect English, like most of the Iceland people do.
Really? It's amazing. Like, no accent at all. It's amazing.
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, and also, commiserations to everyone that has to watch the American coverage of this World Cup, because it has been turd.
Yeah,
I watched 80% of it on mute.
Yeah, I've watched it on low volume or while doing something else. It's almost like you need to have broadcasters on site to, you know, call these games.
Yeah, that is so egregious. I don't really know how they thought they could get away with that, but...
Yeah, go figure.
Yeah, go figure.
Anywho, no Atletico players in action until Wednesday when Uruguay take on Saudi Arabia and Spain take on Iran.
Watch that Uruguay game. I'm predicting goals.
That's going to be like 7-0, I think.
Gotta run up the score.
It was Rory Smith who tweeted, you wonder what Cavani and Suarez are going to do to Saudi Arabia's defense. And I think he's right.
I mean, Saudi Arabia are bad all around, but their defense was, like, particularly terrible.
Yeah.
Like, I was just shocked at the amount of, like, 3-on-2s and 4-on-2s that Russia just kept getting. It's like, y'all are bad. Just defend, at least.
It's not good.
Yeah, exactly. But try. Do something.
Oh, man. So, Atletico players back in action on Wednesday. Let's get to the seasonal... to end our seasonal review, let's look at the forwards.
Yes.
5 players to choose from. Let's start with the dearly departed, Luciano Vietto.
Oh, yeah. Our guy.
I'm going to do the a couple breakdowns for you of Vietto.
I would love to hear them. I'm ready for this.
We're going to do a breakdown of his minutes that he played with Atletico.
Good. And
so let's just start with the minutes. Per game, 17, 55, 65, 57, 62, 16. Those were his 6 appearances for Atletico in La Liga and in the Champions League, 58 and 11. So he didn't play longer than 65 minutes in any game in red and white this season.
It's kind of egregious that he even played in those Champions League games.
Yeah, the 58 minutes against Roma where he missed that 1v1 that could have, you know, won the game. Good times.
How many goals did he score for Atletico this season, Jeremy?
A big fat 0, Rob.
Oh, couldn't have seen that coming.
Shots breakdown. 1, 3, 2, 2. And 2.
Not good. If I had to guess, not good.
And this isn't even including his Copa del Rey adventures. Yeah, this is just La Liga and the Champions League. This isn't including his Copa del Rey adventure against Elche, where he missed 4 like huge chances in one game. It was 3 or 4 just massive chances
in that game.
In that first leg at Elche. That's why it ended 1-1, because Vieto kept missing chances.
Oh man, that was an experience this year, huh?
Yeah, we don't have a key stat for Vieto, but I have a key date
Okay.
January 4th, the day he left for Valencia.
Okay.
That's the day he left
for... That was his best moment, for sure.
Where he left for Valencia, he scored a hat trick against Las Palmas in the Copa del Rey. Scored 2 league goals for them over 520 minutes. And he started a Copa del Rey semifinal.
He played all 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Of both legs.
Mm-hmm. And
he got no goals.
The reporting now is that Valencia have decided to decline his option to buy. And he's going to come back to Atletico this summer. Yay.
Didn't you on the last podcast say we should just keep him?
I did. I still believe it. I still believe it. Like, why not?
Because he's terrible.
He is terrible. But, like, he has no resale value.
Yeah.
No one wants to buy him. He's not going to make it in Spain. At this point, just keep him and see if you can make something, if anything, out of him.
Because it takes years off my life watching him play.
the talent is there. He scored a hat trick in the Copa del Rey this year, with the last goal being outrageous. And he scored.
It's like one of the worst teams in La Liga.
Oh, well, and then he scored that solo goal against Girona at the end of the season. That was
but they were on the beach.
That was sublime. Well, they were, but that was sublime.
Yes.
There is something there. No one has really been able to unlock it, but there's something there.
2 league goals?
I know.
Oh, help me.
But I know you would ditch, I would hitch, because why not? What's the point? You're not going to be able to sell him. Just keep him and use him as, you know, your fourth striker.
I would literally release him from his contract. I don't care. Take the loss on him. You screwed up.
He's got a 6-year contract.
Of course he did. And it's interminable.
You can't really release that.
Yeah, sure. Sure he could. He can go play in the Tercera Division for all I care. I don't mind. Go to Real Oviedo or Sporting Gijón or something.
No, Fuenlabrada.
Fuenlabrada, yeah. Go play at Fernando Torres Stadium.
Estadio Fernando Torres. Yes, he could learn a thing or two.
Fernando Torres should go to Fuenlabrada, though, just for what it's worth.
Yeah, speaking of Fernando Torres, he's next.
Oh, good. Look at that segue.
I'm just the master of the segues here.
Yeah, we are.
The final season in red and white for El Nino. 34-year-old Fernando Torres, 5 goals over 27 league appearances. Of course, he saved the best for last with that brace on the final day of the season against Eibar. You just knew he would.
Yes. Came off the bench a lot this season.
Yeah, 20 substitute appearances. The key stat for him is 43. He made 43 appearances this season.
That's a lot.
Which was about 20 more than I thought he should have made.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel like he made that many appearances either.
Yeah, I mean, I guess since most of them were off the bench, it was kind of, you could sort of forget about them, I guess.
Yeah, and a lot of times he just wasn't playing many minutes.
Right, garbage time minutes, really.
Yeah, I mean, that Arsenal tie in the Europa League, he got 12 minutes. 5 in the first leg, 7 in the second.
When you would have imagined he would have played more in that sort of Europa League run, but nope. Yeah, not so good. I mean, he played, like, what, 30 seconds in the final?
Yeah. I actually wish he would have played a few more minutes in the final.
Yeah, that would have been
because nice, that game was done after, 49 minutes.
Yeah, I still don't totally get that one, but, at least he got on, I suppose. And he lifted the trophy, so.
He did, and he did score those nice goals against Lokomotiv.
He did. He was really good.
One of them was a penalty. The other one was actually very nice.
Yeah. And I mean, we did kind of demolish them in that first leg.
Yes,
or that's first leg, second leg.
Second leg, yeah.
Second leg. Goals were kind of few and far between. But he played a lot of minutes, or not a lot of minutes, but a lot of appearances.
He did.
And
he didn't. He didn't score in the league until December.
Yeah, you know,
that's a problem.
Fernando Torres, hasn't been really that deadly in front of goal for a while, as everyone knows, but, he still had some contribution, but it was clear his legs were gone, and he really couldn't even do what he did when he first came back to Atletico, which was hold up the ball as well as he used to.
Yeah, his aerial presence was still pretty good. He won 4.7 aerial duels per 90 minutes in La Liga.
His passing this season was, like, terrible, though.
Yeah, 61% in the league. 69% in the Europa League.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously forwards are going to have a lower passing percentage than most players, but even still, he should be up over 70 at least.
Yeah, and Torres was pretty much a defensive forward.
Yeah.
That's what he became the last couple of years of his Atletico tenure. Yeah, the goals really dried up. And his value was really just in his leadership and his ability to win the ball in the air, which he's really the only Atletico striker that does that. I mean, Costa can, but that's not a big part of his game.
No.
Griezmann doesn't really win headers. Gamero doesn't win headers.
But I think that was the right decision in terms of converting him into that sort of defensive forward, because it became pretty clear that his body was just kind of ruined after those years in the Premier League. So this was sort of the best way he could be deployed.
Yeah, no doubt. I still think he became a more physical presence, like I said, good at winning the ball in the air. And I think he still had decent athleticism. He just couldn't run very fast or very far.
Right.
But his body didn't really give out. He made 40-plus appearances again. He didn't play that many minutes, but he was always available when Simeone wanted him.
I mean, I really wouldn't have anticipated that he would make over 150 appearances for Atletico when he first came back. I mean, I think it's kind of easy to forget. People thought he was just, like, straight done.
When he went to Milan, yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, really, to make over 150 more appearances for Atletico is quality for him.
What did he end up making? 107?
Wikipedia says 150 in all comps.
Yeah, so that's the 10 in Milan. So 150. Yeah, that's much more than I thought he would make. Honestly, when he came back, I thought he would be at Atletico for another year or so. I didn't think he, without the transfer ban, he would not have been in Madrid this past season.
Probably not. I think you're right.
And then 2016-17, I was kind of on the fence about whether he would be there or not.
He played a lot season before last, that 16-17 season. I kind of forgot how much he played that year.
Yes.
He was also not good.
Stole the starting berth away from Gamero at the end of the season, if you recall.
Yeah, which is crazy.
And 2015-16, he was obviously critical.
Yeah.
Yeah, after the Jackson fiasco, he came in really stabilize things as Griezmann's partner for the rest of the season. Tunisia have just equalized, by the way.
Yeah, go on the Tunisias.
go on the Tunisias.
I don't know what their mascot is.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was a penalty.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, Pickford got a finger to it, but couldn't save it. 1-1.
Poor Pickford.
Yeah,
it's true. That's actually a good point you make. Fernando Torres has made a hell of a lot of appearances in his career.
Yes, he has.
I mean, he's made well over 700 appearances in his career, which is damn good, especially for a forward that's had injury problems like he did.
Yeah, his knees just, when he went to Chelsea, his knees just were gone.
Premier League will do that to you.
Mm-hmm.
And really, looking back at it, that first season at Liverpool is his best ever season.
Oh, Torres at Liverpool was just... I wasn't paying attention to soccer when Torres was at Liverpool. Just watching the highlights of his time at Anfield, it's just... You forget how good this guy used to be.
I remember being a child and seeing him roast Arsenal to pieces. He was very good, especially in Liverpool.
One of his most famous goals at Liverpool is the goal he scored against Blackburn at Anfield. And you just can't imagine seeing him do that now.
I mean, he was electric in terms of his pace and athleticism in those days.
Like, every now and then, Torres would bring out one of those goals. Like, he scored the overhead kick against Celta in 2016-17.
Yeah.
He still had that in his arsenal, no pun intended. He still could, you know, bring that out of his bag of tricks, but mm-hmm. Now that Torres disappeared when he went to Chelsea, and it's really unfortunate. But Atletico got more mileage out of him than they got 4 years out of him. You know, four at least so years out of him. And he was important. A lot of those 4 years, he was an important piece.
I mean, he was a catalyst for getting them to the Champions League final, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah, it was. Yeah, they got a lot more mileage out of him than I thought they would. And probably they
thought he finally won a trophy for Atletico, so it all ended well.
Yeah, it ended very well as he got to hoist the Europa League along with Gabby. No one really knows where he's going to end up. There's been talks that he would go to MLS, or talks he would go to Mexico, or China, or Japan, or even Turkey now. No one really knows where Torres is going to end up.
Fuenlabrada! He really should go to Fuenlabrada, though. I mean, how many players get to play at a stadium that's named for you that you've never even played for?
That's true. He should. Yeah, I'm on board the Torres to Fuenlabrada train.
All right. Good.
I'm down.
We'll make it happen. We'll put the call in.
So, hitch or ditch isn't really applicable to Torres because he's announced he's leaving.
Yes.
That being said, I probably wouldn't have kept him entering next season anyway. I mean, he gave his all. Won a trophy.
Yeah, he's not good enough for Atletico at this point. That's no slight to him. He's just kind of old, and the club is at a Champions League level right now that he can't really play at anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he got a very nice send-off.
And that's not really anyone's fault. That's just Torres got old. You know, Torres was injured, and Torres got old. It's just one of those things.
And it was a happy goodbye. So, you know, most players don't leave their favorite club with a happy ending. So
this is good. That Atletico got 3.5 more years out of him at a replacement level, you know, level. I guess that qualifies as a success.
And I mean, it cost nothing considering he was coming off a transfer that cost $50 million.
It was an initial loan, and then Atletico signed him on a permanent deal for free from Milan,
which is just crazy.
So for someone for free, especially since it didn't cost you anything, yeah, good move.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You'd be annoyed if Atletico had paid like $30 million for him, but they didn't, so.
And he ended the season on a good note as well.
Yeah, so. Goodbye, Fernando. We'll miss you.
Kevin Gamero, someone who ended the season on a little different note.
Yeah, very, very different.
Yeah, this was a weird, weird season for Gamero. He scored 11 goals, but the key stat for him, 7 match-winning goals.
Yep.
The last 6 goals he scored this season, Rob, they all stood up as match-winning goals. The last 6 he scored were all eventually the deciding goal in the match.
Wow. That is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was a weird season for him, as he didn't play a whole lot. Simeone never really counted on him except for a brief spell in February, pretty much, around the time of the Copenhagen tie in the Europa League. Simeone never really counted on him, never really wanted to turn to him for long spells. But he didn't have a bad season.
He didn't, but he also really didn't. I still don't feel like he played that much. You know what I mean?
In La Liga, he played just over 1,100 minutes.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess he played 600 more minutes than that season before last, but I don't know.
It started a lot more, too.
It's strange. He didn't kick on like we saw. I mean, he was streaky season before last as well, and he kind of kept that up.
Yeah, he did. Despite his just really important contributions, like he was one of the team's best clutch players this season, as hard as that is to believe.
This is true.
And he was.
And it's kind of weird. He's a luxury bench player, but I'm not sure that he's ever going to be more than that.
And he scored 5 1-0 wins. He scored 5 goals.
That's pretty good.
1-0 against Celta, 1-0 against Eibar, 1-0 against Copenhagen, 1-0 against Depor, 1-0 against Alaves. And he also added winners against Athletic in that game in February and the first leg against Copenhagen.
You like Kevin Gamero.
I always wanted to like him more than I ended up liking him. When Atletico first signed him, I thought, okay, here's a guy who is really dynamic, who has some underrated strength, some power, and has always been a good finisher, and he's won wherever he's been. You know, won 3 Europa Leagues at Sevilla, has had a decent finishing record in his career. But in the end, and we're assuming that Gamero is going to leave this summer, right?
I guess.
Assuming that Gamero does leave this summer, which at this point looks pretty likely, it's been a weird 2 years for him. Because there were times where it looked like, okay, this guy is the answer. Like, this guy has really good chemistry with Griezmann. he scored the fastest hat trick anyone had scored in La Liga in 20 years last season, or two seasons ago at this point.
That did happen, yes.
Yeah, against Sporting Gijón. But it just never really came together for Gamero. This season was another example of that. Only started 11 games in La Liga, scored 7 goals, so his goals to minutes ratio was outstanding. But he only played 5 times in the Europa League, didn't see the pitch in the final, didn't play the second leg against Arsenal. So the two most important games that Europa League run, he didn't play in. Played only half the group stage games in the Champions League. Wasn't really counted on in the Copa del Rey either.
Well, and I think if there had been an injury to Costa or Griezmann in the rundown, I still kind of feel like Simeone would have ran Angel Correa out there at striker before he would have ran out Gamero.
Yeah, even when Costa was hurt this season, Griezmann and Gamero started together the first leg at the Emirates.
Yeah.
And that was when Costa was injured. They started together that 3-0 loss to Real Sociedad, which was probably their worst game of the season.
That was terrible.
But Simeone kind of had to be dragged screaming into it. Gamero wasn't really the fit that Simeone envisioned, or even I envisioned. Too small, too similar to Griezmann in too many respects.
And we kind of talked about that last season as well, that was a problem, that he and Griezmann didn't really work as a pair.
Yeah.
And that just never really won over Simeone at all.
Yeah, there were times where, you know, they had very good chemistry, like they'd exchange some passes, exchange goals, but that dried up at the end of 16-17, and Simeone just didn't really turn to it that much, especially after the new year.
Right. So. I mean, it seems kind of odd, looking at sort of throughout, he's a very strange player in terms of his career as a forward. He's never really scored that many goals. I mean, at PSG, he kind of went there at the wrong time, just as they got rich. And then at Sevilla, he banged him in Europe. But in the league, he only ever got, what, the maximum was 16 in La Liga? 16. So
Atletico wanted to buy him because, you know, A, they didn't want to wait for Costa. And B, they thought this is a guy with La Liga experience. He will be, you know, somewhat cheap considering the market. The next season, his goal scoring tally went down to 12, and then this season it was at 7. So Gamero's in decline. I think that's further evidenced by his lowest shot total per 90 minutes in the last few years, only 1.6 shots per 90. Which is
it's also not really a good sign that he scored 7 goals and yet was overperforming his expected goals.
Yeah, for a forward, that's really, really low, and that shows some regression will be coming in his age 32 season, most likely. And he took a lot of unsuccessful touches, 2.7 unsuccessful touches per 90 minutes.
Yeah, it was a very strange season. I think he may just be this kind of guy, this like very streaky kind of striker, and I guess if that's like a mid-table team, then that's fine. But in terms of him probably wanting to be a striker at this stage of his career, a starting striker, I just don't really see it in Atletico.
I mean, we've seen before that in La Liga, Gamero only averaged I lost my train of thought.
Gamero, La Liga, bad. something like that.
It took a lot of unsuccessful touches, was dispossessed too much, 1.4 times per 90, which, okay, yeah. Guerrero just doesn't have enough about him. He never really did. Mm-hmm. At Sevilla, he was very good, but that was a different system. And at this system at Atletico, very different style. And he was already on the wrong side of 30. Or he was already getting to 30. He's going to be 32 next season. I think whoever ends up with him is going to have to tailor their system to him and his strengths. And that's tough. Because
I mean, I think him being solid for like a mid-table team in La Liga.
But what's solid? How many goals?
15 max.
Yeah, exactly. Max.
I mean, yeah, no, you can't expect him to score that many goals, even if he is the guy you're running your whole system through. And is that really worth it for the amount someone's going to have to pay? I mean, obviously Atletico's going to take a loss on him, but even still, how much of a loss are they going to be willing to take? Surely someone would take a pop on him for like 15 million, maybe. That'd be maybe a good deal for Atletico. I just can't really see Atletico getting much money back for him.
No, if they get, I think I said this on the bonus pod last week, if they get $20 million for him, then they should take it.
Oh, absolutely.
They're not going to get a better deal. But the one thing Gamero does really well is what you need to do as a striker, which is finish. That's the one thing he does well. But
yeah.
He doesn't really do anything else all that well. He's a decent passer for a forward, you know, almost 80% this season. But he doesn't really do a whole lot else well. If you play him as a lone forward, it's suicidal. You can't really play him in a front three because he can't really play wide at all. So that leaves a front two. So someone like Valencia, who he's been linked with, would probably be the best fit for him. But Valencia are a club in the Champions League. And I don't know if Gamero is really a Champions League kind of forward anymore.
And are they really going to drop $20 million on him after they're spending all this money already this summer on Gonzalo Guedes, most likely?
I don't know.
So, yeah, it's a tough one. I just can't really see too many clubs that would be interested in buying him for what Atletico are going to want.
Yeah, and you also got to remember that a decent chunk of Gamero's goals this season were penalties.
Exactly.
So, yeah, in open play this season, he just wasn't getting a whole lot to chew on.
I mean, basically, Atletico should be desperate for any number of mid to low table Premier League teams to buy him for no good reason.
I wonder how we do in England.
Bad.
Yeah, he's...
I don't know. I just can't. I mean, maybe okay, but I just don't know. I just don't know how much he has left in his legs at this stage.
Yeah, like, he's not physical enough. He's not strong enough. The last couple seasons, that part of his game has kind of gone away. At Sevilla, he was a more complete forward, but then he went to Atletico and really only focused on the finishing. He's not technically that good. Yeah, it's weird for Gamero because this is probably the best role for him at this stage of his career, is coming off the bench. I thought the way Simeone used him this season was perfect. He was a luxury, as I said last year. He was a luxury to have. He scored some big goals this season, but there's not really much else here.
How about West Ham? I'm feeling Gamero going to West Ham. Couldn't you see him playing there?
I'm feeling a Manuel Pellegrini, Kevin Gamero summit.
Yes, if anyone can get the best out of him, it's old Manny Pellegrini. I'm feeling it. All right, someone get Pellegrini on the phone.
Hit your ditch, I ditch.
No, definitely ditch.
Definitely ditch for Gamero. We got two guys left, Rob.
Okay.
You can guess who the first one is, probably.
Yes, and I think they're both quite good.
The big man, Diego Costa.
Yeah.
Diego da Silva Costa. Man, I'm so glad this guy came back.
Oh, beautiful.
6 yellow cards in 15 games, and a red card.
Yeah, he was a little more handsy than we were used to. And was that like his first career red card or something like that?
Surely not. It's like, I think, first or second.
Yeah. Okay.
It was his first one in like 10 years or something.
Yeah. And, you know, it was actually kind of a weird thing. He scored some very important goals and he started off very good, but he did have a little bit of a dry spell there. Not enough to be worried about or anything.
Yeah, but I think the expectation for Costa coming back was that he would just score 10, 15 goals himself. But kind of the opposite happened. Costa didn't score, but his presence allowed Griezmann to flourish, as we'll get to, obviously.
Yes.
Costa only scored 3 goals in the league, but he had 3 assists as well.
This is true.
So, and he
was excellent.
He didn't play for 6 months, too.
And I think, I mean, and I totally agree with you. We wrote this constantly after all of his performances. It's like, yes, he didn't score, but without him, the team would be so much worse.
Right, because you saw in the first half of the season who Griezmann was partnered with. Sometimes Griezmann was a lone striker, but he would be partnered with Correa, who is way too similar to him, with Gamero, who we just finished talking about, Torres, who's too slow and isn't powerful enough. With Costa, you have the complete package. This big, bruising, dynamic center forward who will just charge at opposing center backs and clear out all this space, and that's exactly what Costa did.
Yeah, and, I mean, he created so much space for Griezmann, and Griezmann was absolutely loving it. And I'm absolutely thrilled that we get to see them both play for a whole season together.
Yeah, so you look at Costa's goal returns, like, okay, it's not that impressive, just 3 goals in the league. Just, I think he scored 2 in the Europa League. No, he did score 2.
That one was worth about 4.
Right, against Arsenal. That was that goal, that singular moment is why Atletico brought him back. Yes. That singular moment to just torture Arsenal once more.
He will do that. That is what he does.
Yeah. He scored a further 2 in the Europa League, and then he got a couple in the Copa del Rey. So you're like, okay, the goal return isn't that impressive, but it's everything else that Costa did that made him worth the investment, worth that $60 million plus Atletico paid for him. Occupying center back's time, just being a really disruptive presence and opening up space. Because if you have to mark him or pay attention to him, you let Griezmann roam all about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's amazing because I don't really think there's another club that Costa could have gone to where he would be this willing to sacrifice like he does for Atletico in terms of his goal return. At Chelsea, he was their main man and just banged him in. That was basically all he did because he wasn't oftentimes willing to sacrifice for that manager or that club, but because he loves Atletico, he's willing to do that. He's willing to take the hit in terms of his goal ratio.
Key stat for Costa, 2.1. That's his shots per 90 minutes in La Liga this season. A bit low.
Yeah,
but
this is true.
He did have 1.8 penalty area shots per 90 minutes, which is pretty good.
That's the thing. That's the thing about Costa is his shots are always going to be from very dangerous locations. If he's getting shots off, more than likely they're going to be in the box.
They're going to be high-quality chances. And absolutely. You also got to keep in mind Costa didn't play for 6 months.
Right.
Which
so
also,
I think a full season with, you know, I mean, granted, there'll be a shortened preseason because of World Cup, but get him a little bit of confidence playing with Spain as he's already banging them in for them.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling it.
Yeah, and the Costa-Griezmann pairing, Costizman, was already excellent. I think a full season of them, I think that's going to be great. I'm very, very excited for that.
And he's kind of the opposite of Torres in a lot of ways, because he really never played that much football before he sort of figured it out at Atletico.
That's right.
So, I mean, he's had a lot of hard minutes in the Premier League and with Atletico, but really the last, what, 5-6 years, he's only played hardcore minutes at his top level for that amount of time. So there may be a bit more in the tank, so I'm not as worried about him aging poorly.
I mean, Costa's 29, but his breakthrough really didn't happen till he went to Rio for a year.
Right.
Atletico loaned him out to Rio in 2011-2012. He scored 10 goals in 16 games. Next season he came back, was a really good foil for Falcao. Then 2013-14 was the year he took off, scored 27 goals, got his move to Chelsea. Won the league, got his move to Chelsea, where he was very good most of his time there. Yeah, so he didn't really burst onto the scene until 2011-12.
Exactly. So
about when he was already in his early 20s.
I think that there's probably more time for him. So in terms of age, he doesn't worry me as much as other people do. But I'm looking forward to seeing him staying with Atletico, because, I mean, one would imagine he's going to stick around with Atletico for at least as long as Simeone's there, and probably even longer.
Yeah, it's quite possible. Definitely Hitch. Costa has a, what, 150 million euro buyout clause?
And I don't think he'd go even if someone paid it.
Yeah, even if someone activated it. This is a guy who fought really, really hard to come back to Atletico.
Several times. Several times.
Pretty much since he left.
Yes, exactly. He was like, oh, man, Chelsea sucks. I want to go back. But he still banged him in for Chelsea. So
he did, because he's a world-class striker.
Oh, absolutely. And that was once he had figured out that he could just abuse everyone. So yeah, he was excellent for them, and hopefully more of the same for Atletico.
A full season to this guy. Can't wait.
Hallelujah.
Finally, Antoine Griezmann.
Mm.
The last of the forwards. I, for one, am very happy he stayed.
Yep.
As I'm sure you are.
Yep.
Despite, you know, we've talked about this guy a ton, obviously, because he is the star player, the talisman. He's Atletico's most marketable player, without much doubt. So he's the guy that naturally a lot of people talk. You think Atletico, you think of Antoine Griezmann.
Yeah, and people that don't watch Atletico, that is they know of.
They know who Griezmann is. They know what he's about. They know he's a world-class player. It wasn't always that way this season, though. This was really a tale of two seasons for Griezmann.
It was. The first half of the season, he was very, very bad.
Before January 3rd, Griezmann scored 7 goals, assisted 5 in all competitions.
That's still pretty damn good. If we're saying that's bad, that is still pretty good.
But after January 3rd, when Costa arrived, 22 goals, 8 assists.
There you go.
Wow.
He just took off.
Yeah. And it was because of what we mentioned earlier. Costa opened up all this space for him.
Yeah, and I think that his mind was kind of elsewhere to start the season. Obviously got sent off at the first game of the season, which was... bad.
Got sent off, missed 3 weeks because he was suspended and there was an international break. Came back against Roma, really did not play well as Atletico drew in Rome, which kind of started their collapse in the Champions League group stage. And this, yeah, very inconsistent first half of the season for him. And then Costa comes in and things change. Almost instantly.
Yeah, really the only good moment of that first half of the season, despite the fact he scored fairly often, was the bicycle kick against Roma in the Champions League.
It was one of the best goals I think anyone scored this season.
Oh yeah, definitely. But that was it, really. But then, he just exploded in the second half of the season.
Yeah, scored the 4 goals against Leganés, a hat-trick against Sevilla, just huge goal against Arsenal in the first leg of the Europa League semifinal. He scored in every Europa League tie.
Which is amazing.
Yeah,
and that sporting tie, which was still a lot closer than I would have ever liked it to be, that was crucial as well.
I'm telling you, that was the most nervous I got during this Europa League run. It wasn't during Arsenal; it was during the second leg in Lisbon.
Yeah, because they were actually able to score.
Yeah, and I thought they were going to get a second one. This was going to go to extra time. Costa had already gotten injured; he'd already come off.
Oh man. That Europa League run was a little nervy, but that was definitely the most nervy moment.
Yeah. There were moments against Arsenal where I thought, okay, this could get a little hairy, but then I remembered, it's Arsenal.
Well, and the first leg, I think, was way more nervy than the second leg.
Yeah, second leg was very comfortable, despite the 1-0 scoreline. Which Griezmann scored one of Atletico's 2 goals in that tie and assisted the other one for Costa.
Yes, he did. His numbers are amazing. Looking at his who scored page in terms of his history this season is ridiculous. There's not too many players whose pages look like that in terms of goals and assists and the little green stars.
Little green man match stars.
Yeah. he's been brilliant. His goal record for Atletico is insanity for a guy that most people thought was a winger when he came to the club.
Yeah.
He's not that, certainly.
But. No, he was a young, promising, but inconsistent winger when Atletico bought him from Real Sociedad, and now he is a lethal forward.
Yeah, and it seems like he may be at Atletico for a while. With Griezmann, nothing is ever sure. To me, and I realize that trying to find logic in footballers and football is, pointless exercise, but it wouldn't make much sense for him to do a giant decision video if he was only going to stay at Atletico for another year.
Right.
Right? Like that's not crazy.
You'd think that, but you never know. Weird things happen in football.
This is true. But yeah, I should just not think about it. I'm tired of thinking about transfers.
Just be happy he's already signed.
Yes, exactly.
Griezmann's stats remained pretty consistent despite his slow start to the season. 2.6 shots per 90, which is pretty much in line with the rest of his Atletico career. Key passes, 1.6 per 90, second on the team behind Koke. That is also relatively in line with his past few seasons. Key stat for him, 29. That's the number of goals he scored in all competitions. 4th consecutive season he's led Atletico in goals.
Yeah, debatably Atletico's best player, I suppose. He's very world-class, I would say. I would say Diego Costa probably more represents what Atletico is.
I would agree.
But Griezmann is probably, for most casual observers, would be considered the best player on the team.
Guys like Costa and Godin and Gabby, Saul, definitely Koke. They represent the Atletico ethos.
Yes.
But Griezmann's the one that makes it all click.
Right, exactly. And Atletico do need a kind of superstar. Typically, they don't stick around for too long. So Griezmann's actually kind of stuck around longer than most of the, you know, Atletico strikers tend to after they have brilliant seasons, despite the fact it's been nonstop drama.
Yeah, it really is that.
But I guess it's worth it in the end.
It is, because this guy's a great player, and you always want to keep great players.
Yes, and hopefully next season he can get off to a stronger start than he did this year. Now that sort of everything is calm, he's not just staying because he feels bad. He's staying because it was la decisión, and it was his decision, not anyone else's.
So hitch or ditch again doesn't really apply because Griezmann's already said he's staying, and I would hitch anyway.
You would be silly not to hitch.
Indeed. Indeed, that's a pretty nailed on one. And so ends our seasonal player review.
Wow.
That was great.
Extensive. A lot of shade was thrown.
We laughed. We cried.
Yes, let's hope for less crying next year, but I doubt it.
All right, we got anything before the bonus pod?
I think that is it.
Fantastic. We are going to leave it here. Bonus pod. Colchonero Chat, amigos, you can listen to it at patreon.com/colchonerochat. We're recording it now. In the meantime, you can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me on Twitter at jbbaron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/Into the Calderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of the program on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes Apple Podcasts. If you are on Apple Podcasts, make sure to leave a rating and review. It really helps us out, gets more eyes and ears on the show. We'll see you next week. Adios.